And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy.
So I got to ask you, Shane, everyone in the SEC, you know, that follows the college basketball, we don't touch on it a ton here, but obviously a big game over the weekend. Tennessee at number 5 Kentucky. Wildcats put a beating down, and this came after old cousin Shane put out a hype video claiming Tennessee was going to win by 30. Is it time for cousin Shane to retire from his hype video predictions?
Well, it just goes to show, man, I'm 100% on Kentucky. I mean, if I come out and say Kentucky's going to win or lose, you better bet the other way. Because that's I just can't get it right, man, and this one hurt because it wasn't even close. And I'm glad we don't take phone calls because I guarantee damn Ollie have been calling right now just to rub it in my face. So,
yeah, for any new listeners out there, if you missed it before, why I'm kind of razzing Shane so much about his prediction videos, we all get these wrong. It's no big deal. But if you missed it back in, what was it, Shane, September?
Yeah.
Old cousin Shane had himself a Tennessee hype video for the Florida game. He said Tennessee by 50.
50.
And the Gators won, what was it, 47 to 21, I believe it was. Yeah. They almost scored 50 on Tennessee. So his it may be time for him to stop with these prediction videos until further notice.
I'll tell you, man, shooters got to shoot, Mike. And so I was going for it. And I got more backlash off the Florida Gators. I have to say, Kentucky was at least, you know, they weren't that bad. There was a few just this didn't age well, you know, cold takes, that sort of thing. But
no death threats yet from the Kentucky fans. Is that what you're saying?
No, none of those. But damn, them Gators, man, they done found my house, you know, leaving stuff in the yard. So a totally different ball game, I guess. So, but they had us, man. They had us, and we didn't have a shot. So hopefully here in March when we get them again, we'll do better.
Well, speaking of the Gators, Shane, we had to start with this little clip. I don't know how many of you out there are paying attention to the new spring football league, the AAF is what it's called. And I got to watch quite a bit of it the week one. I didn't get to watch any of it week two. We're not obviously not going to break that down, but why I wanted to just talk about it was because old Steve Spurrier, one of the all-time greats, he is the coach of the Orlando franchise of the AAF, and they're 2-0 to start the season. And after the game, I'm not even sure who in the hell they played, but they beat somebody here, and Steve Spurrier was asked about the crowd, and he took the opportunity to take a little shot here at Tennessee and their fans. Let's throw here to Steve Spurrier, and then we'll discuss it.
This is not an easy atmosphere to play in. It was very loud at times. How did you combat the noise?
I think it was just as loud as Rocky Top, to tell you the truth. And I know the Swamp is maybe a little bit louder.
So how about it, Shane? I mean, oh, man, I know Spurrier walked out on South Carolina, but I just miss that guy so much. I wish, you know, I think we're without something in the SEC without some of this, the Sabanization of the SEC. We got guys like, well, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart and Nick Saban might be good coaches, but they sure as hell don't leave many quotes out there for us.
That's right, man. I miss the old ball coach. I ain't gonna lie, you know, just his little stabs at Tennessee all the time. And definitely like South Carolina Spurrier better than Florida Spurrier because his teams weren't as good. But nah, we're missing that, you know. And then did you see what Coach Leach tweeted out the other day? He could send a picture, and it was of Sasquatch. And yeah, he put out it's a picture of Sasquatch, and it says, "Believe in yourself, even when no one else will." Sign Sasquatch.
Oh, Shane, he was so close to being Tennessee's coach.
I know. Well, we don't have that X factor in the SEC. Somebody, like you said, you get sound clips off of and just totally entertaining. So I hope one day some team in the SEC does take a shot at him. I'd love to have him in the conference because somebody's got to replace Spurrier, you know, and I think who better than Coach Leach?
All right, Shane, let's go around the league with all the news, huh?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league. Around the league.
We haven't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our players, I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, you just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shane, at the top of the list here, this came out on Monday. Kentucky offensive lineman E.J. Price has left the program. And that's it for Around the League.
It's a little slow, Mike. It's a little slow when E.J. Price is your headliner.
Yeah, so that was confirmed by Kentucky. A little, you know, this is a weird story here, Shade. I mean, like I said, confirmed on Monday, but E.J. Price, he started 10 regular season games for the Wildcats. He looked to project to be one of the starters, potentially at tackle. And for anyone that did not follow his recruitment, I believe he went to Archer. They're in Georgia. It's a big-time Georgia program there. Everybody in the nation wanted him. I believe he was a U.S. Army All-American, and he surprised many back in 2016 before we even had the early signing period. But he shocked many on his national signing day, if I recall, signed with USC. But he didn't last very long there. I can't remember the exact thing because I obviously don't cover USC, but he either redshirted and then left after the redshirt, or he just left during the redshirt. It was one of those others. There was speculation that he punched one of the coaches.
Oh, man.
I don't know that for a fact. That's what I remember hearing from back then. Came to Kentucky, obviously, and then he had to sit out the year. Last offseason, he left the team. And now he came back, obviously, to play last season. Now he's gone again. I don't know if he's coming back, but just a weird and wild story. And, you know, this is potentially a tough break here for Kentucky because, you know, while he seems to be kind of questionable in his off-the-field behavior, I guess if you want to call it, they just don't have many All-Americans in the trenches there in Lexington.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you really want that in your locker room? Somebody that just cannot commit. It sounds like he's got commitment issues, you know, and
right.
I was reading an article from, I guess, SB Nation. They came. Mm-hmm. Can I say that? I don't know if I'm supposed to
yeah.
say. Okay. But they were talking that he was going to be battling with Young because Landon Young that suffered that preseason knee injury mm-hmm. that cost him the season. They said that he may be the starting tackle. So maybe that's it. Maybe it had something to do with he just didn't feel like he was going to be handed the keys, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but, you know, obviously Kentucky's got a long time to figure this out. We haven't even gotten to spring ball yet, so definitely not a huge blow by any means, but anytime you're already losing some key players, you're losing a guy that started 10 games, like I said, in the regular season, could be a big loss down the line for the Wildcats.
Bunchy done did it again.
Well, like you said, Shane, that's basically all the news we have. This is I realized it Monday. I mean, this is the damn dead of the off season. Last Friday, there was some news that we can talk about here, Shane, because Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee, they all finalized their coaching staffs all on the same day. I thought that was pretty interesting, but let's go just in the order that they announced it, starting with Tennessee, and that was done via Jeremy Pruitt in his press conference there. You know, not a ton of unexpected news here. All the guys are there that days leading up to this were announced, but the big news from Knoxville, Shane, Derek Ansley is going to be the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's replacing Terry Fair, who's the cornerbacks coach last season. I don't know the fact that he was defensive coordinator. That was not known officially until this Friday. And it was, shortly thereafter announced he's making $1 million a year. So I believe 10 of the 14 defensive coordinators in the SEC, of course, Kentucky doesn't have one right now because of Matt House leaving, but all the 10 of the 14, I believe, make $1 million or more. So what was your thought when you found out that not only is Ansley going to be coaching defensive backs, but he's going to be the defensive coordinator? And Jeremy Pruitt was asked during his Friday presser, I was going to ask you what your thoughts are, Shane, on Ansley calling the defense. But here's what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about it on Friday, and then we'll discuss it.
Defensively, when you talk about Derek Ansley, he's a guy that was a graduate assistant for me for 2 years and then was the defensive backs coach. And so, we're very familiar with each other. I think it's good to work from the back to the front. So I think he brings a lot of experience, coached a lot of really good players. And probably when I start a sentence, he can finish it. Well, I think, I think Derek, I think his heart's in college football. He's a tremendous recruiter. He has passion for young people. He's a very good teacher. And he had lots of opportunities, to leave the Raiders this offseason, and he chose to stay. But I think the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator here, to work with the men on our staff, was something that he couldn't turn down. Well, I just think he's ready, he's somebody that's been in the back end with me, we obviously wasn't together last year, but the two previous years, has a really good idea of why we want to call something and when we want to call it.
All right, Shane. So, Pruitt, he has a brilliant way of saying nothing but saying a lot of words. What are your thoughts on Derek Ansley calling the plays next year in Tennessee?
Well, this wasn't Kevin's defense last year. So, maybe, I don't know. Let me ask you, do you think we're going to see much? I mean, you think we're going to see anything different? Like, Pruitt letting his defense go a little bit? Or you still think Derek's going to be running Coach Pruitt's defense?
Well, that's an interesting thing here, Shane, because during this presser, Jeremy Pruitt noted every single person on our defensive staff, and he's talking about his, full-time assistants here, We've all worked together. And that's interesting. So they all know each other. They know they can get along. They must obviously have a good relationship that brought this together once again. But
yeah.
I think basically how it's going to work, Shane, is during the week, it's really going to be Pruitt and Ansley, but it'll be the entire defensive staff, game planning, getting the defensive calls ready, and then they'll just lean on Ansley to make the calls. And that's why they kind of say, you may have heard Pruitt say this before, any of these coaches can coach any of these positions and any of them can call the game plan, because they just all have to be aware of what is going to be run at what time, given the offensive looks and whatnot. So,
yeah.
That was the issue last year with, I think, Tyson Helton. It was the fact that the staff was not familiar with him and none of them had worked with him before. So this is just a completely different animal where, you can have Pruitt calling plays or Ansley, but I think it's going to be just the same language, the same calls. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be aware of what's going on. So I think that's another big reason why Terry Fair had to be dismissed or let go, whatever you want to say, because he had not worked with these guys and maybe he just wasn't familiar with everything that was going on.
Right, and what to expect. And maybe, too, switching around these spots, I mean, it sounds to me like this is going to be a team effort as far as coaching the defensive side of the ball. And it wouldn't surprise me if Pruitt went to Kevin and said, hey, buddy, you're still going to be a big part of this, but, we have to bring Ansley in as defensive coordinator because they got to justify the pay. You can't pay somebody $1 million and have them coach just defensive back. So maybe that had something to do with it, and Tyson Derek to come over. So it sounds like they know what they're doing. And like you said, they're buddies, So hopefully that will show on the field and knowing exactly what everybody's going to do and what to expect.
So how surprised were you, Shane? I do really think a lot of these co-coordinator titles you see all around the SEC, those are kind of meaningless. The reason, for people that don't understand why they have these co-titles, they get paid more money when you're a co-coordinator. And at the same time, all these guys have language in their contract that says you cannot leave for a lateral position inside the SEC. So a guy like Chris Rump, he's listed as outside linebackers coach and co-defensive coordinator. So that gives him more money. But also Georgia, Florida, you know, go down the line, they cannot hire him to be a position coach. They have to hire him as a full-time defensive coordinator. So I'm not saying that, you know, Scherer, I say all that to say this. How surprised were you that Kevin Scherer is not a co-defensive coordinator? Seems like, I don't want to say he had that title stripped from him because he is special teams coordinator. Mm-hmm. So he's still getting some money, that I'm sure, from that. But any surprise from you that you go from listed as the defensive coordinator to special teams coordinator?
No, I think this was more about not letting Chris go. I think Kevin is real close to Pruitt, and it may be somewhat of a package deal. So, I mean, if they're really close, then he doesn't have to worry about Kevin going somewhere else. So maybe that's what it had more to do with, and restricting Chris on the team.
Now, were you surprised at all that Jim Chaney, not the quarterback's coach, that honor goes to Chris Winkie? I'm sure Jim Chaney will be, you know, very instrumental in that position, but I thought that was somewhat of a surprise to me.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise on the offense side was that T wasn't listed as co. I would think, you know, just taking that wide receiver spot, I thought he would have maybe another little title to go with it, like a co-offensive coordinator. But that, I think,
well, he did get T. Martin is associate head coach.
Oh,
so
okay.
He gets a nice little pay bump, I'm sure, from that. And that's kind of that's a title a lot of coaches get. That basically, if a head coach gets fired for whatever reason in the middle of the year, it's usually that associate head coach that bumped up to the interim.
I got you. So I thought he was just a wide receivers coach. My bad. So in his paperwork, it may say something like he can't take a head coach spot in the SEC. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he could take a head one because that would be a promotion. But he cannot go to, say, Alabama to be the receivers coach.
Oh,
because that would be, you know, a lateral move. So they basically would have to promote him to a higher role if someone's going to try to steal him away. Now, that only applies within the SEC. If, say, Florida State wanted to hire him as a receivers coach, he's free and clear to do something like that. But this is just kind of the way it's done in the SEC, because you really don't want to, you know, have a really good, say, offensive line coach and then lose him to a damn team that you got to play every year, you know?
Mike, the off season is here, buddy. 10 minutes of coaching talk. I like it.
So let's go to Athens, Shane. So they finalized their staff as well. And I think the big news there, not totally unexpected, but the big news, Dan Lanning has been bumped up, promoted the outside linebackers coach to defensive coordinator. And Glenn Schumann, who I thought he was going to be the defensive coordinator, he gets a co-defensive coordinator title. And those guys split duties coaching linebackers. But Dan Lanning only on staff 1 year there in Athens. And from what I understand, Shane, this guy, it was not that long ago. He's only 29 years old, Dan Lanning. I think it was something like 5-6 years ago. He was working at some little tiny school, what have you, drove across the country to interview, I think it was like at Penn State or something, just to basically be a walk-on analyst type role.
Yeah.
Landed the interview, had to stay overnight because he came on the wrong day. He had to borrow a guy's suit because he didn't own a suit. Got in there, got the job, and then within, I think, a year, he was full-time. And now, just a couple years down the line, he's defensive coordinator here at Georgia. It's a pretty wild story, a big-time up-and-comer here from Dan Lanning, but how wild is it to Kirby Smart? You know, obviously, I mean, he's going to have his hands really on this defense, but he's got a very, very young, particularly on the defensive side here, staff. Does that surprise you that one of the premier teams in the, not only the SEC, but in the nation, is kind of going so inexperienced, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I I think that's wild. I mean, you look at who their coordinators were last year, and now I think James Coley's only 45 years old. So, I mean, they're very young, and that does surprise me. I'm not worried. I don't know. When you look at these coaches like Kirby Smart, like Nick Saban, like apparently Pruitt, you know, it's like they're defensive guys, and it feels like they're running their defense. So I'm not like raising an eyebrow when I see a new defensive coordinator take a spot at one of those teams. You know, it's kind of like down in Florida, if you know, offensive coordinator for
Dan Mullen.
I mean, I'm not going to do too much research because it's still Dan Mullen's offense. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing here is just it's a spot they had to fill. You got a young guy that's going to be able to recruit well. And I think we're just going to grow off of it, and he's going to build his resume and learn Kirby's way. So this is a good teaching year for him, man.
Yeah, and then here on the offensive side, I wanted to make these notes as well, Shane. Dale McGee, their outstanding running backs coach, and he's also one of the nation's top recruiters. He has been given somewhat of a promotion. He's going to be the running game coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know what that is, but it's like a made-up title that they're giving these guys. But hey, more power to them. And then Sam Pittman, your guy there, Shane, he's been named associate head coach down in Athens. So he's getting a nice little bump. I think he's up to like $800,000 or $900,000 a year. He's probably worth about double that, in my opinion, of the way he coaches and recruits offensive line. So, you know, Kirby Smart's doing what he can to surround James Coley. I mean, these guys were already on staff, but making sure that they remain on staff and make, Georgia one of the elite recruiters in the nation.
Well, one of the most surprising moves I thought this year was Charlton Warren moving. And did he get anything other than cornerbacks, or is he assisting anything?
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong.
It just seems like, I mean, because it was such a lateral, well, I don't want to say lateral move. I think Georgia's way ahead. But but it just seemed like maybe he would have got a bump in pay, you know, maybe a co-defensive coordinator or something like that. So that one kind of surprised me that he's just a cornerbacks coach.
Well, I think it made sense in this aspect, Shane. He doesn't have any experience in the Kirby Smart, Nick Saban style defense.
Mm-hmm.
So go kind of learn from the best. Those guys are known for their defensive back play. Kirby Smart played defensive back there at Georgia, obviously. So as opposed to working for Dan Mullen, who's a great offensive mind, but you're just not going to – I don't know that you're going to take your defensive knowledge up. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think that kind of made sense. And, they offered him a heck of a raise. So
yeah.
I'm sure that was the biggest motivator.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane, jumping to Alabama, they also finalized their staff for 2019. This was like a damn news dump of coaches here on Friday. I don't know why everyone went at the same time, but they did. And finally official, Shane, Steve Sarkisian, offensive coordinator there at Alabama. Now that that's finally official, and their offensive line coach, Kyle Flood, I mean, these are kind of underwhelming hires. I think Sarkisian is a good coach, but what are your thoughts on them being, the face of Alabama's offense now?
Did you see the tweet they sent out when they put these coaches? I think they created like their own star rating, you know. Did you see? If you look at it, they all got little stars by them. I saw somebody on Twitter made mention of it. And I don't know, man. You know, it's something we talked about with Alabama was, did the youth finally catch up to them in the national championship, you know, where Saban's having to do everything, where he can't just – you know, I mean, Steve doesn't need help with offense. Sal doesn't need help on defense. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it feels like they brought some age to this staff and somebody that, you know, that knows Saban's ways. And, so he could focus a little bit more on the individuals. So I think it was a smart move from Bama here. Because we talked about Georgia getting younger. I really think Bama needed to get a little bit older.
Yeah, and they did that by, stealing away Charles Kelly from Tennessee's outstanding safeties coach. Charles Huff, running backs coach there at Mississippi State. Brian Baker, the defensive line coach, also Mississippi State. And one of your boys there, Sal Sunseri, is going to coach off outside linebackers there in Tuscaloosa. So a lot of change there on Alabama. And, we've kind of been hitting on that for a couple weeks now. Seven new coaches on the Alabama staff, Shane. And that is particularly interesting because I'm going down the list here all across the SEC. I mean, that is very, very uncommon. I mean, most of these staffs have 2 to 3 changes.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama has 7. And last year, I believe they had 6. And what that means, Shane, it wasn't that long ago, 2017 season, the team that won the national championship, all 10 assistants, of course they had 9 back then, but all 9 have changed since 2017. Mm. How wild is that?
That's crazy, man. Unbelievable. The turnover they have down there is unreal.
But they keep on trucking, Shane.
They do, man. They do. But like I said, it's not like some of these games they get in. It didn't matter who was coaching. I really don't believe so. Just because of the talent on that team, you know, coaching, practicing Saban's way. But I really do think that, you know, because we talked about the offensive defensive coordinator last year, that was a weak spot, and was it going to get exposed? We thought, no. You know, the offense looked great, but how much of that was Tua, you know what I'm saying? Or how much of that was that offensive line or those young wide receivers? So, I don't know. It just felt like there was no – I don't know. It just felt like they struggled. And we're all talking about the Clemson game because it was just on the national stage. Right. And who knows if they would have played again. Bama could have won the game. But it just felt like there was no adjustments during that game. And I don't know how much of that was the staff or how much of that was the players. I mean, but just looking at it, you want to blame the staff, you know?
All right, Shane, let's jump to Auburn, where they had a little bit of coaching change themselves. They have not done anything official like the three teams we just mentioned, and not finalized the 2019 staff. But I believe it was during the National Signing Day press conference that Gus Malzahn had. He was asked, you know, will there be any more changes to your coaching staff? He was pretty adamant that there would not be. Don't know if he was being dishonest or maybe if this guy just left on his own accord here without Gus Malzahn's knowledge, but it was announced since our last recording that defensive backs coach Greg Brown is leaving for Purdue. And this is a guy, Shade, he was at Missouri previously. He's got a really good track record coaching defensive backs, but you got to think going from Auburn to Purdue, that seems kind of like a step down, particularly if it's for the same role. So I'm not sure, you know, this guy, to my knowledge, is not an elite recruiter, but he's a good coach. So maybe Auburn's trying to get a little bit better, you know, recruiter in here. But that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because otherwise I don't understand why you'd go from Auburn to Purdue, although Purdue, they do have a good head coach there. But I don't think that's a move I'd be making.
No, I mean, here's a guy that's, they said he made, what, $400,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And the guy that he's replacing up in Purdue made $320,000. So I doubt Purdue's going to, if they do match the $400,000, it's just, why take that job? Why not stick around with Auburn? I mean, I know Gus has lost a few assistants, you know, during this offseason, something we've expected. But I don't know. If I'm looking at Auburn or Purdue, it seems like I'm just going to stick at home, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I would be doing as well.
Especially the talent. I mean, they got so much more talent than Purdue.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Arkansas. They had a little bit of – they finalized their coaching staff as well, and they did it by stealing a coach from within the conference. So they land Auburn defense – well, he's not a defensive line coach, Shane. He was a director of player personnel relations. I don't know what in the hell that officially means, but – basically, what that means is, you know, someone that was working on staff that couldn't just was not allowed to coach the players directly. These are guys that recruit when prospects come to campus and they help the coaches coach. But he's getting a chance back, and this is Kenny Ingram I'm speaking of course. This guy is a longtime Gus Malzahn assistant, so it's kind of interesting to see him jump ship here to Arkansas. But, you know, perhaps the opportunity to be a full-time coach once again was too much to pass for Kenny Ingram, and he's going to coach defensive tackles in Fayetteville. And I like this hire, Shane, and I'll tell you why, because this guy, he's a Memphis native, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former high school coach there in Memphis. He's a former Memphis University linebackers coach and defensive coordinator, so he's got a ton of ties to the area. And that area is one that, you know, obviously Chad Morris, they've been hitting Texas. Him and his Arkansas staff, they've also started to reach into Tennessee, Shane. They got a couple guys out of Nashville. They heavily recruit Memphis, and I think old Kenny Ingram's going to be a big asset to the Razorbacks as you know, they really need to build up their line of trench play there in Fayetteville.
1 second, Mike. I want to look up something here.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you clicking and not paying attention to anything I'm saying.
No. I'm listening, but the reason, I mean, this is a smart move, man. One thing about Coach Ingram is he graduated, like you said, in Memphis there at Whitehaven High School, and there are a ton of athletes coming out of that school. So this may have been more strategy. And if Arkansas wants to take that next level, if they can establish a footprint in Memphis, then that's how you move forward, man. Because you got him in Texas, and now you got him in the killer spot there in Tennessee. So this is smart, man. Smart move.
Yeah, and obviously they got John Chavis on staff there. So John Chavis with all his Tennessee ties, and you know, he does really well scouting Memphis and Nashville area. So I'm sure he's very familiar with the name Kenny Ingram. I'm sure he signed off on this hire. So he's getting another longtime veteran. And, you know, when you look at over the years, the linemen that Auburn has produced, if Arkansas can kind of capture some of that magic, I'm sure Kenny Ingram had his hand in a lot of that. Auburn being one of the best, I think they're going to have the best defensive line in the SEC next year. I don't know how much Ingram is responsible for that, but I'm sure he had a hand in it. And, you know, it's very smart of Arkansas to try to recapture that magic, because that, while everyone's looking at Chad Morris and his offense and all this stuff, and when is that going to get going, The Razorbacks are never going to compete in the SEC if they can't get their line of scrimmage play up. So that's why you hire a guy like this to get that corrected and get it corrected quick.
Oh, yeah. I'm just reading here, man. This year is going to be huge in Memphis. I mean, they have got some freaking studs coming out. So I think this is smart, man. I love this. Coach Morris playing dirty. I love it. Not dirty. He's playing smart is what he's doing.
No, you don't want to get in trouble with Chad Morris again,
no,
Shane.
No. Morris is by the book, man.
All right, last little update I got here, Shane. This was officially announced on Monday morning, but Ole Miss has hired Tyrone Nix off of Virginia Tech's coaching staff, and the Hokies actually announced this themselves, which I thought was kind of weird. It's not often you hear a team announcing that a coach was leaving, but that's interesting on a couple of levels, Shane, because Tyrone Nix, his brother is Derek Nix, who's already on staff there at Ole Miss. He coaches running backs, and He was noted as being instrumental in the Rebels landing Jerrion Ealy, that five-star running back they just got. So, you know, the Nix family has a ton of respect there in Mississippi. I know Tyrone Nix played at Southern Miss. I'm assuming that Derek Nix did as well. I'm not 100% on that one. But Tyrone Nix has got a long history here, Shane, in not only the SEC but at Ole Miss. Former defensive coordinator, linebackers coach. He was coaching safeties last year at Virginia Tech. The way I understand it, though, is Mike McIntyre, the new defensive coordinator, he will be coaching safeties in Oxford, while Tyrone Nix is going to bump down to a linebacker coach role, which is something that he has done oftentimes at South Carolina and at Ole Miss, as well as Middle Tennessee. So thoughts on the Nix brothers? They're back in Ole Miss, Shane.
Oh, you got to love it, man. You got to love it. He's from there, so this is going to help in-state recruiting. So I think it's a great move on his part. And, I mean, get out of Virginia Tech. What is crazy, though, is just the fact that if you ever look at some of these guys' resumes and it feels like you can see the progression. You know, they're getting a better coaching spot, a better pay, and then all of a sudden it drops off. I mean, this is a guy that went from assistant head coach and defensive coordinator to – you know, linebacker coach at MTSU. So it's a tricky role, man, being a coach. You gotta be careful before you hit your career to any wagon. You know what I'm saying? And what does kind of surprise me is the fact that I know his brother's down there, but I don't know. Ole Miss, I'm so nervous. That would be like one of the few SEC teams that I would be worried about putting my future in. You know what I'm saying? Like some of these guys had to take a chance. You know, I think Coach Rodriguez, you know, and all these guys, they had to do. This is a job they needed. But I don't know. Some of these younger guys, of course, he's been around a little bit. He's not young. But I don't know, just hooking your wagon to Ole Miss would be kind of tricky.
Well, you talk about his resume, Shane, and I'm sure he's learned a lot of lessons along the way. Maybe he's learned to deal with adversity. Basically, maybe he rose too fast because he was too ambitious. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
now he's on staff with his brother, back at a place he knows, close to his hometown. And what Matt Luke, the thing they have to sell over Mississippi State, I'm not saying it's, you know, a good message or a bad message, because I think, I don't know, they about split the difference in recruiting last year, and obviously Mississippi State was better on the field. But what Matt Luke and company have to sell is Mississippi made. That's kind of their thing.
That's true. Where
they're Mississippi guys. You know, obviously Matt Luke went to Ole Miss. Mike McIntyre, former Ole Miss coach. So he surrounded himself with people that know Oxford, very experienced. And while he, you know, the book is still out on Matt Luke on whether he can get the job done, but at least he's surrounded himself with guys that are not going to have to learn the ropes of the SEC. They're not going to have to learn Oxford. They know all that already. They can kind of hit the ground running. They can sell even stronger now, Mississippi made, and all that. So I don't know. I really like this one, this move as well. So a lot of good coaching moves. And of course, basically all coaching moves look great when they're made. We'll have to see how they pan out. But because I certainly have my reservations on Ole Miss as well. But as long as they continue to make improvements and solid hires, that's the only way back.
Well, I'll tell you too, man, Mississippi's a sneaky, talented state. And a lot of people don't realize how much talent comes out of the state of Mississippi. And if you can get a school to protect its borders and become the team to play at, like, I mean, it's Ole Miss and Mississippi State. If you can become the team to be at, then you can see teams like we had last year with Mississippi State. They just, you know, they had a lot of talent. And it's, I mean, they're battling each other. They're less than, I think, 2 hours away from each other. So, and all these guys are local. So, yeah, it's kind of fun to watch, because I think I'm not saying they're on even playing field next year, but it's getting closer. It feels like the gap is getting smaller. So does Ole Miss take over, or does Mississippi, you know, take the reins again?
All right, Shane, that's, like I said, a slow-ass weekend here of news.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. Do you got anything before we hop off here?
Well, I got a couple things, Mike. I do have a review I want to read, but before we do that, we are going to start getting more involved with, we'd like to get more mailbag questions. I mean, this is the off season, so if there's something you want to know about your team or questions you have or anything like that, if you jump on Reddit, that SEC podcast, you'll find us. Mike, every day we have a show, he'll post a thing on the show. If you got some comments, just underneath it, you know, ask a question. I mean, hell, it's the off season. We're going to get to know each other. So
there's not much else to talk about.
There really isn't. I mean, we could talk predictions and all that stuff. So we got some good stuff coming up. But just right now, I mean, hell, we're talking about coaches for 40 minutes. So that's where we're at, guys and girls. But, Mike, without further ado, I'd like to jump into this rating and review before they start going down.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I appreciate everybody, you know, giving us a rating review on iTunes. It really does help us out. But if you don't have an iPhone, who cares? Just hanging out with us is all we want. But somebody did take a step. Nick Balls on Sunday said, "What's up, you big Tennessee homer? 5-star rating. Great SEC podcast. That made it to my must-listen rotation. Love the insight and around-the-league coverage. Keep up the great work." So I appreciate you, Nick.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate all our listeners, all our reviews. It really goes a long way to helping spread the word on the podcast. So anybody out there that, you know, obviously you're listening to this, you already subscribe and listen, but anyone that you know that might like it, please share it. We'd be thankful for you to do that. You got anything else, Shane?
That's it, buddy. That's all I got.
All right, Shane. Thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. That was a pretty sloppy way to end it, but I'll see you on the next one.
Guys, go Vols. All right, let's just start all over. Can we do that?
You got the whole podcast.
Yeah, just start from the beginning. No. I got it. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Oh, dude, man. I think I'm a little tipsy. I'm apparently off the keto.